Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go any place we can to take you places other talk shows can't take you to. In other words, our show's entertaining. It's kind of a slam, you know, but in any event...
Well, yeah, our shows are informative.
Well, yes. I forgot. We've got so many marvelously informative talk shows, don't we? In any event, this hour, we're going to have David G. Hall with us. My understanding is Ms. Deauville called.
Yeah, Karen Deauville. She called up David Hall and want to know about, you know.
Right. Well, the subject, folks, is going to be, and, you know, I'll be very honest with you. You're going to have a look inside the producing decision-making around a talk show. The subject is going to be the propriety and appropriateness of certain material. It's coming up here in just a moment. 877-876-PHIL is the number, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. A backstage pass will get you access to thousands of hours of archive material, as well as our daily video cast, as well as our show logs, as well as our comment section, as well as all the other audio and video media that we have available to you, as well as some animated clips. It's all there at philhendryshow.com. The other thing I want to mention is that our podcast, if you are not a subscriber to our show, you can listen to the free Phil Hendry podcast and check it out. Check out what is up with that, and we have a new one. And in the new podcast, we feature our pre-show rant.
Yeah, but you're talking about what?
This just it's part of our pre-show video rant that we took the audio from and put it up as just a very quick podcast, so you can get a kind of a feel for that. And we also post those. 877-876-7445 is our number. So we're going to bring on the line first off Karen Deauville, who's a listener of ours. Ms. Deauville is a listener in Baltimore, Maryland, I think. Karen, how are you this evening?
Oh, Phil.
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, all right. Phil, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you so much. We didn't know whether to call you or... We just love your program. And I spoke with you last week, and I talked with Bud Dickman, and we love... Oh, we get a kick out of your program. Now, my brother Jerry is here. And I know you've talked to him and my husband, Herb.
All right. And I'm going to have David G. Hall on because... did you speak to him?
Yes, I did. He is a wonderful... He's a great guy. And I asked him, Phil, because there's a lot of us. We're seniors, okay? Which doesn't mean that I'm, I'm a senior, but it doesn't mean I'm an old folk. Okay.
Okay.
But we were calling to find out about this man.
Now, what man is that?
Well, we were calling to find out because I'm going to tell him, Herb. We were calling to find out.
Don't tell him about it.
We were calling to find. I'm going to tell him right now, Herb. We were calling to find. I'll tell you something, Phil. If ever there was anyone we could talk to about this, we think it's you and, of course, Mr. Hall. We were calling to find out about. It got really quiet there, didn't it?
No, we're waiting for you to say what you want to say.
All right. We were calling to find out about this man in Colorado. And
What do you want to know about the man in Colorado?
Well, there's a lot of things we want to know, but you haven't talked about it. And I talked to your Mr. Hall, and he is a wonderful guy. He's not as wonderful as you, I don't think, but I'm biased. And he said, well, you know that's up to the man who hosts the show. And
all right, is David there?
And I said, well, we just want to talk about this, Phil. It's a very... We have a lot of seniors here, and we do have a day room that we go to in the community that we live in, and we watch television, and we watch a lot of news television. And we were wondering when we were going to see this.
All right, is David on the line?
Yes.
David G. Hall is the vice president of our operation here at Syndication. He's on the line with us here from Pasadena tonight. David, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good, Phil.
Tell me what the lady is. What did she talk to you about?
Well, I talked to you, Karen. How are you, Miss Deauville? How are you doing? David, I'm fine. And I told Phil that you were a real gentleman. We were so happy to talk.
My pleasure. I talked to the lady today, and she said she wanted to know, because there's a lot of senior citizens where she lives, and much of what they do during the daytime is they watch the news on television.
Okay.
And in watching the news on television, they form opinions and they have a discussion group and so on. You can well imagine that it is something of great interest to these folks, and they were wondering when you were going to be on the radio talking about, taking phone calls and having opinions about this thing in Colorado. And
what did you tell her?
Well, he told me, Phil, can I say?
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
He told me, Phil, that it's really up to you. And I said, okay.
So I asked her to call you, and I wanted to be here to make sure that you are answering her questions, if there was something you couldn't answer.
Well, there's something I couldn't answer.
Yeah, that I would answer it.
Phil, and I want to say, can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, ma'am, go on.
I want to apologize. I am sorry. I didn't mean to interfere.
No, you're not interfering. We often deal with things this way, Karen. You know.
Well, I just feel I don't want to cause a problem.
Ma'am, you're not causing a problem at all. This is David G. Hall. You're not causing a problem at all.
All right. Let me say this. I will tell you this. When it comes to a very delicate situation, a very traumatic situation.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Go ahead.
You know, I want you both to know that. And I want all of the listeners on the Phil Henry Show, of which we are three and we love the show, I want everyone to know that we are very, very devastated. And we really are, Phil. And I told everyone here, we got to listen to Phil Henry.
All right, I understand. And I appreciate that.
I'm sorry, Phil.
It's okay. I want to say...
Did you say everything you wanted to say, ma'am?
Yes, I did, David. Thank you. You're very kind. You're very sweet. Yes, I did.
All right, let me just continue on, if I could.
All right.
It was a horrible thing. It was...
It was terrible.
Yeah, and let me just finish here, Karen. It was a horrible thing. It is certainly not something that I'm going to open up for discussion. As freewheeling as talk radio is, the conversation can often become extremely insensitive. It can often veer off into topics that have nothing to do with it. There are people that want to make political hay out of things, and I just don't think the time was right for it. Now, I've got the phone call from you and from David.
She's asking me what I think, and I said it's your call.
But you also know that you have very strong feelings about this.
I don't have. Look, Karen,
I think it's wonderful that Phil defers to you. And I, you know, Herb, I'm sorry, David, just one minute. Herb, this is the way to handle employees.
Yeah, no, I believe it.
This is the way to handle employees. And
I'm not his employee.
No, ma'am, we're more business partners, but thank you very much. I will leave this up to Phil.
Well, let me say this. Karen, you have a group of senior citizens who get together and they want to talk about the news, and they want to talk about news events.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And you know something? We, you know, a lot of them, I'm not one of them, but a lot of them have physical infirmities. You know?
No, I understand.
And this is all they have. And
Karen, this is David Hall. Let's go finish. Because you got a break coming up, right?
Yeah, we're going to stick around, Karen. My instinct would be to, first of all, I'd need to check it out. If I really knew that people wanted to talk about this, I would check it with David because he is my partner. And
all right, you checked it with me, and would it matter what I thought?
It would matter what you thought.
All right, well, I'm going to have to say it's your call because you're the on-air talent.
All right, well, okay, then suppose I said yes, because Karen has called, and a lot of people, we're going to talk about it.
Okay, it would be your call. I would say that I would be, very disappointed.
Oh, you would be?
A little bit. Because you're on the line right now, it's very difficult for me to answer this question.
All right, let me take a break. Why is it difficult?
I don't want Karen to be shocked by some of the decisions that we talk about behind closed doors.
Well, I don't want to interfere. I just was wondering.
All right, hold on, everybody. 877-876-PHIL. Is it time to talk about Colorado? My personal feeling is, I guess I don't know.
Well, see, that's why I got David G. Hall on to be able to tell you all about it.
Yeah, then he can give you guidance.
Yeah, okay, but then I just said okay, and then he'd say he'd be disappointed. See, all right, 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm Phil Hendry. Welcome. 877-876-7445 is our number. We are broadcasting from the El Pacifico tonight and every night. And when I say the El Pacifico, a guy had called last night and said, Phil, the El Pacifico means the El Pacifico.
No, Phil, can I interrupt?
Go ahead.
Jerry, you were saying, my brother Jerry, I'm sorry, Phil. Jerry, did me, sir?
Yeah, Phil,
this is Jerry. Okay, Phil?
All right, but we don't want to get too sidetracked, all right?
Let the lady do what she wants to do, Phil. I mean, these are our customers.
All right.
I'm sorry, Phil. Do you want to do...
No. It's okay.
Jerry, come here.
Yeah, I said my sister, when I heard the El Pacifico, I said, well, that's... The El Pacifico is the... And that I'd never, whatever, call on a talk show.
I have the phone call. Okay, good, Jerry. Isn't that cute? And I said to him, oh, my God, Jerry, what a nitpicker you are. Didn't I say that, Jerry?
Yes, you did. She did. My sister's always kept us honest.
Well, that's great. And I think I said to the chap on the phone, nice guy, I said, you know, it's gringo Spanish.
That is hysterical. That's funny. So gringo is like restaurant Spanish.
Well, it's not exactly. It's like it's how a gringo would fracture Spanish, you know. So it's gringo Spanish. And restaurant Spanish, not quite, because restaurant Spanish has got to at least be, it's got to make sense.
That is so cute, Phil. I love, this is why we listen to Phil Hendry. That's why everyone here listens to you. And I'd be quiet because I know that they're in the room. And
are they listening right now?
I don't know. Let me go look and see what the girl's doing.
I can do that.
All right, let me get back to David. You're there?
Yes, Phil, I want to make a point here. And we were talking, for the audience that's listening in, we were talking about the propriety, as this lady, Ms. Deauville, who called me and is now calling your program, of talking about the events in Colorado. Now, this is a very sensitive topic. And I would not want but it's also a very, very important topic. And I would not want to keep the public from being able to discourse about very important issues.
I that is absolutely how I feel about that.
Well, it's a very valid point.
That is absolutely how I feel about it. And, you know, and can I say something? I don't want to be perceived as... You know, telling Phil how to do his show.
No, ma'am, you're not doing that.
No, it's a very, very valid opinion, Karen, and we want to hear that.
So I think that when you look at it objectively, you want to say you don't want to be insensitive, as Phil just very, very, very eloquently said. You know, he's right. You also don't want to limit what we do best in talk radio, and that is facilitate the exchange of ideas. That's what I love so much about talk radio.
I so agree with that. That is absolutely...
That is my feeling about talk radio, to facilitate ideas. And so, Phil, you said that you would be... What was you? I forget. It was...
Well, I said that if that's how you feel, because you are the guy that has to go out and, you know, sell a show.
Well, he has a hard job, too.
It's a very hard job. I would say, all right, let's wade into it, and...
Well, that, Phil, that is so wonderful. That is so wonderful, because we want to talk about it.
Yeah, that everybody wanted to.
Well, I would say, well, let's just, wade into it delicately, and that's something you could work with, right, David?
Well, let's hold on. It's still very early. I know that you like to use a lot of humor.
Yeah, well, it's kind of our calling card.
All right, I'm not comfortable with it. I'm not comfortable with it.
I understand that. I do understand that.
You understand what I'm saying, Karen.
Well, okay, all right. So you now you don't want me to.
I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm telling you that I'm uncomfortable with it.
I respect that, Phil. I really do.
Oh, Karen, could you hold on for a minute? Let me just talk to David here for a minute.
Of course, of course.
Wait, don't blow the caller off.
No, I'm not doing that. I just want to ask you something. Didn't you just say to me a few minutes ago, you know, talk about it and facilitate it and da-da-da-doo-da-doom-ba-boom, and...
No, I didn't. When you say da-da-da-da-ba-boom-ba-boom, what you're basically saying is I spoke a lot of gibberish and nonsense.
Oh, that is so... Isn't that true? When people say ba-boo-ba-boo and all that, and my husband does that to me, it is. It's telling people you're so full of it. You're full of beans. You're full of beans.
Yeah, and I think Mr. Henry's saying I'm full of beans.
No, I'm not saying you're full of beans, David. I'm sorry. I sort of shorthanded what you were saying. You said that you felt that talk radio, doing what it does best, facilitates the exchange of ideas.
That's such a good observation.
Yeah, I think that's what it's about.
Okay. So I said, all right, let's do it. Let's wade into it gently.
Right, I think that is a huge mistake. I think it's a huge mistake.
Oh, so you think it is a mistake?
Yes, I do. I think that if Mr. Henry talks about this, there are going to be the ramifications with advertisers, with the stations, with listeners.
Okay. All right, but they can't talk about it, Herb.
No, no.
Because of all of the people. And you know, Phil,
Let me finish here, Karen, if I could.
Okay. I'm sorry, David. I'm going to take a lock. Click. Okay, zip it up.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, you know.
But I can ask some questions?
Yes, you can ask some questions later on. Let me just finish with Mr. Henry here.
Take a lock. Click.
All right. You there, Phil?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. You go on the air tonight and start talking about Aurora, and we're going to have, in figurative terms, a bloodbath on our hands come 7:15 a.m. tomorrow morning. It will be, the blood will be running under the door of my office.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And
what is that supposed to mean?
That's how many people and the money we're going to lose. What are you talking about?
And all right, you could say that. That was a frightening image.
Oh, my God, the image. This man, you are eloquent. You know that?
You do me a favor, ma'am, and just...
I can do that. Yeah, do you want me to be quiet?
Yes, I would like you to be quiet.
Karen, hon, just hold on.
Phil, we love you. I understand.
We understand you, Mr. Henry.
That's okay.
Would you ask these people to... So, what I'm saying is, if you talk about this...
All right, we won't talk about it.
You're not going to talk about it?
No.
Oh, well, that's a little...
How does that feel, Karen?
Well, you know, it's disappointing, but you know something, David? I do not envy the job you guys have to do. I don't. And you have to do a very hard job, and you have to do this job night in and night out, and...
You know, I tell my wife that.
See, my husband agrees. Jerry, you don't agree.
No, I don't agree, because I felt that they owed us the conversation to be had.
And my brother is not very open-minded.
I think I'm open-minded.
But I understand.
All right, so the lady understands if you don't talk about it, but it's going to be a disappointment.
It's a little bit of a disappointment. Yeah, we got a lot of seniors that want to hear it.
Okay, so yes, it will be a disappointment, but there will come a time and a place when we can talk about it.
Right, but you're disappointed, right?
We're a little bit disappointed, yeah.
All right, so you've got to weigh that, Phil. She's disappointed, and you have to weigh...
Well, I've got to weigh her disappointment against the blood running under the door tomorrow morning if I do talk about it.
The point that I'm making here is that you've got an obligation to your listeners. And if they want to hear you talk about Colorado, then you've got to talk about Colorado. What do you think I'm doing? I'm out there, I'm trying to...
What did you just get done telling me?
Oh, gosh, they're arguing.
Ma'am, your name is Mrs. Deauville?
Yes, Karen Deauville.
Will you shut your mouth?
Don't talk to her like that.
Oh, my goodness.
Will you shut up? She's been talking about...
Don't talk to her like that, David.
No, I've got to go.
What did she hang up?
Yes, she hung up. There's a listener you just cost me. 877-876-PHIL. world famous Phil Hendry Show.
She hung up, didn't she?
Yeah.
Phil Hendry.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. So on the line with us here is... David G. Hall, and you just yelled at that lady that you had been talking to. You had been telling her that she was going to...
Look, at when you say I just yelled, I told the woman if she wouldn't mind, could she shut her mouth so you and I could talk. And
you didn't put it quite like that, David.
I was very clear with her. If she, I don't believe I was impolite.
Shut your mouth is impolite.
No, I didn't say that.
Yes, you did. You said, would you shut your mouth or something like that?
I said, would you shut up? And I think there, if there's one thing that we're all used to hearing, no matter who we are in this world, I don't care if you are a, if excuse me for using this term, but I can't, I don't know what the proper term is, if you're a deaf mute, if
in other words, if you are hearing impaired?
Well, if you're hearing it, what about if you're I don't know what you call it, mouth impaired, I don't know what it's called.
If you're hearing impaired, that's what, you know, you don't mouth impaired. You have, you could say that you have a speech impairment.
Yeah, there you go. Speech impairment, mouth, not mouth impaired, speech impairment, hearing impairment. Even if you've been hearing impaired and you are, and you have speech, that you have no speech. In your life, someone's told you to shut your mouth. Just shut up because they can't take it anymore.
Well, I doubt seriously if someone with a speech impairment has been told to shut up, unless they're living with or working with or are around completely callous jackballs who just like to insult.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. There's always going to be somebody out there that's going to tell you to shut your hole, even if you can't talk. So that's what I was trying to say. And here's the thing. Here's the point. When you are, in fact, I can tell you, Phil, I had a cousin that had a speech problems, but I would tell him to shut up just because he was sitting there, he was quiet, and I knew that he wanted to say something, you know?
I don't understand the story, David, and I don't think I want to hear it. I wanted to get back to...
you don't want to hear it. I'm talking here, if you don't mind. I was going to illustrate a point that you were taking exception to. And
all right, I believe you. You had a speech-impaired cousin?
Yes, a cousin. That we called him a deaf mute. If he was a speech impaired guy, then that's what he was. And I'm sorry to be insensitive, but he couldn't talk. And so but he'd sit there, and I knew he was going to talk. And I'd say, would you shut up? I knew he was going to talk. And so I would say, shut your hole. And it was the craziest thing. You just knew there was a guy sitting there wanting to talk.
Why would you? You know, David, I'm not interested in the story. It sounds like there's something wrong with you to do something like that.
Wait, whoa. Something wrong with me.
Exactly.
You know what?
Okay. That's fine. That's great.
Yeah, that's even better.
Exactly. That guy is the... I'm telling you, man, and he's my partner? 877-876-7445's world-famous Phil Hendry Show. As we talk here about the sensitivity or insensitivity of talking about the things happening in Colorado and whether or not this is something that we can explore, whether we can discuss it without hurting feelings or having people, and we have Karen back on the line. Karen, I apologize to the bottom of my heart for the way that you were talked to.
You know something, that's okay. Because I think I was a little bit out of line, you know.
No, you were not. You were asking questions and he was very, very rude to you.
We love your program, and we listen to it every night. And I just think that you have the most wonderful mind. You know, I think you've got a great mind. And let me tell you, if I was younger...
Here's your daughter, man.
That's right, Herb. Keep that in mind. If I was younger, oh, my God, I would run away with you.
I just love you.
All right, okay. That's very kind of you.
I know. You don't want to hear from an old lady like me. But I really, seriously, Phil, I love your mind. You do a great job.
Okay, but let me just talk to you here.
Yeah, because I want to know. We have... Phil, can I tell you something?
Go ahead.
We have a group of seniors that we get together every day. We watch the television. And we love to discuss the news. And Jerry, you went years ago. My brother's a great guy. He went out and got some root beer for us.
Yeah, they had an ice cream. They had an ice cream social.
An ice cream social?
Yeah, that's right.
So we did have an ice cream social. So anyway, Jerry, he went out and got us some ice cream. And we're wanting to talk about this thing in Colorado. But they're talking about it, but they're not showing things. We really wanted to see some police photos.
Well, we're not going... No. We can't do that. You know, we can't do that.
No, we did. We wanted to see some police photos. We wanted to see it.
No. We can't... You can't have police photos. You can't do that, okay? You can't have that kind of thing. It's not... It's absolutely beyond the pale.
No. Hold on for a minute. Listen to me. We don't want to see the police photos. We want to see the police report and then later the photos.
No, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I mean, we can talk...
You can talk about it on the program.
If we can find a way to talk about it on the show, we can talk about it on the show, but we're not going to have... Obviously, I'm not going to show police photos here on Phil TV.
But you can talk about it.
If I, in consort with other people that I take advice from, we could talk about it.
I know you didn't say yes.
No, hold on. Let me finish here.
I know. You didn't say yes. You didn't say yes. Herb, you didn't say yes yet.
Okay.
Herb, you didn't say yes yet. I'm sorry, Phil. Go ahead.
We can talk about it in concert.
Can you hold on, Phil? Jerry, are you going to get root beer? Are you going to get root beer?
I need to get back.
Hold on just a minute. Are you going to get root beer? I'm Phil Henry. I'm talking to Phil Henry.
Would you shut up? Just shut up, will you? There you go. There you go.
Man, you got it now. David Hall is going to be mad at you.
He did the same thing. He did the same thing.
Why'd you tell her to shut up?
Because she wouldn't shut up. That's why I told her to shut up. Why did I tell her to shut up? She wouldn't shut up. Oh, Phil. Oh, that's great. That's great.
Well, you know he's going to call in.
Yeah, sure. I know he's going to call in. That guy cannot... He can't miss an opportunity, that guy. Where's he at? Yeah, David.
All right, so you tell me that I was being cruel to her, and you just told her to shut up. You just now told her. I heard it on the show. I heard it on the radio. In fact, I taped it. You told her to shut up, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I told her to shut up.
So what were you giving me a hard time for?
I was giving you a hard time because, you know...
Yeah, that's what I thought. You got no reason to come at me. You just told that old lady to shut up. And in the process, she's probably in her house right now contemplating suicide.
And I doubt it.
You doubt it, huh? Let me tell you something. If I get a news report tomorrow about some old lady that talks too much is suddenly hanging from a noose someplace, and I don't find that funny. But some old lady that blathers on and on and on and on, just blah-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la, and then the next day they find her swinging from a rope. You don't think she did that on purpose.
Well, did you say suicide or not?
Now I'm thinking about it. And I'm telling you...
Well, what does that mean, now you're thinking about it?
I think maybe that herb or whatever it is. You imagine living with that? Next day she's just...
Get out of here. All right, if you get her back, Bud...
Yeah, I'm trying to call her.
Call her back. Tell her I'm sorry. Tell her that I'll do everything in my power to talk about whatever the hell it is she wants to talk about. What she wants to talk about. The Colorado thing, we're not going to talk about just yet. Okay, I've made up my mind. We're not going to talk about it.
You don't want to talk about big news?
I don't give a damn if it's big news. We're not going to talk about it yet. Now, maybe we'll talk about guns. Maybe. Maybe we'll talk about people that are mentally unbalanced. That's something we know a little bit about. But we're not going to pick up, we're not going to use it as bit material, if that's what you guys are trying to tell me. It ain't going to happen. All right, 877-876-7445. Phil, yeah?
It's back on line two, and get on, no, it's her brother, I think. But anyway, she said that there's going to be...
Hello?
yeah, Phil, it's Jerry Deauville, and let me say, you know, I'm Karen's brother-in-law. I don't ask whether to say she's going to be okay, you know, we don't about to talk too much.
Are you, Jerry, are you her brother-in-law?
Yes, sir, I'm brother-in-law, and I'm her brother. She can't have a brother.
She's the what?
She gave up on the brother. And so I just say that she on that thing. She's going to be okay.
Okay.
You do that?
I didn't hear you. So if you could say that again, man.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said that Karen, she about sister-in-law. You know, she never had a God of Bone. She's got a Kit Kat laying and a Kit Kat. You understand that?
No, sir, I don't. I...
Let me turn. I got to get turn the TV. Turn that down, her. I'll turn that damn thing down. How do they? I said, okay, you hear me better now?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
All right, I'm sorry, Bill. I said, Karen, she's going to be all right. I got Zetalin and a couple of they tested cinnamon. So when I tell her, Lucy, hello, hello, Mom. Jay? And,
yeah, okay.
All right. Oh, so you agree?
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay. What about that? So you meet me for dinner. I'd like that.
No, I'm not going to meet you for dinner.
That's what you just said.
Well, I didn't understand you.
Then why'd you say yes?
Because I was just trying to get him out of here, will you? I swear to God, bud.
What's wrong with you anyway? Yeah, about to lose it, man.
I'm going to kill somebody. I don't care who. Anybody close to me tonight, I'm going to kill him. You, Robert, somebody's going to die.
What's wrong with that?
I'm not going to talk to some guy. I don't even know what the guy's talking about. What the hell happened to our TV, man? Phil TV went bonkers. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. Good God.
Truth
Phil Hendry Show.
He's our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Well, you sit him out, Walla Hade. I got a bond mark.
Hendry Show 877-876-7445, world famous Phil Hendry Show. By the way, hit up the podcast. It's our free podcast. We do three a week, something like that. I think we might even up it to four a week. It's the free Phil Hendry podcast. And if you haven't listened to, if you haven't accessed our website, it gives you an example of some of the things that we do. We've got one that is up right now. Episode 22 is just a pre-show rant that I went into. And, you know, check it out. It's available at iTunes and elsewhere. Also, you can access it through our homepage at philhendryshow.com by hitting the podcast banner. I'm not going to go into any more conversation about whether or not we ought to be on, you know, whether we should be talking about what's happening in Colorado. No, we're not going to. The discussion about guns and that kind of crap, I suppose, you know, that you could. We could take a few phone calls. We got a line here. And it's R.C. from last night, right?
Yeah.
Okay, this is, you're a military academy cadet, R.C., right?
Oh, that's correct, Mr. Hendry. And by the way, I just want to say that I thought that you handled everything really good with that lady. I think that lady was probably out of line one talking about everything that she said.
Well, she wanted to see some police photos, and I don't know what kind of discussion group they have.
Well, a lot of civilians, and I say civilian only because from what we do at the military academy, and I've been here, you know, since my freshman year, and our training is primarily, as you would well believe, paramilitary. But we do see the civilian population from the standpoint of how they are going to be, reacting to the different stressful things that there is. And
all right. So, but the point is that she wanted to see some graphic pictures. And we said no. And
But the reason why I called up, Mr. Hendry, is that's what a lot of people wanted to see after wartime. And I've seen pictures that are appropriate after wartime, but they're not Americans. And that's the part that I would say is the best one. And
what I don't understand what you're saying. You're saying that you have seen what?
I've seen photographs of, like, Japanese and Germans, and it's pretty, most people would not be able to handle it. Hold on, what? And
all right, well, that's fine. I don't know that we want to talk about graphic photographs of violence. And I don't think that any of that has anything to do with that discussion. This discussion has more to do with...
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. That old lady was probably... I think the old lady was way out of line wanting to see the gruesomeness of it, you know.
All right, well, that's fine. Let's not talk about her now, because I just don't want to. What I want to talk about was this idea that you have looked at photographs of dead Japanese and Germans.
Yes, sir. That's on account of to get used to battle and to see what is done, how it's done and everything. And
how it's done?
Yes, sir. Because if you're going to be in battle, you want to see how it got done. And
how what got done?
How the enemy soldier was there, the word that, what did Commandant Wehrman use the other day, Watson?
Talked about a dispatch what?
That's when you dispatch him.
Oh, okay, yeah. All right.
Right. So if you want to look and see how it got done.
Yeah. There, do that.
Hey, Mr. Henry?
Is that Watson kid?
Yeah, it's Watson. Hey, say hi to Mr. Henry.
Hello?
Hey, Watson, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Hey, Watson, you know, not for nothing, man, but are you, you're okay, right?
Uh-huh.
Because the last time you were on the show, I heard you say that you thought Michael Myers was your bitch.
Uh-huh.
No, that's what he says.
Okay, so you don't really believe that Michael Myers exists, do you?
No.
I don't believe that at all.
Okay, let me just talk to him, okay?
Yeah, okay, go ahead, Watson, let him have it.
Okay, so you know that Michael Myers is a TV character.
No, he's on the movie.
He's a movie character.
Uh-huh.
All right, but he doesn't scare you.
No.
Yeah. All right, let me have it. That's Watson. And
okay, yeah, so I got it. Michael Myers is my bitch.
Yeah, ever since he's seen the new Halloween, or not Halloween, well, yeah, Halloween. What was the one? What was the one with the new? Yeah, it was the new, no, it was the new, was it the new Friday that, no, it was.
What, did you talk about Halloween? It was the new Halloween, the Rob Zombie Halloween.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, okay, I know the one you're talking about. Then he got into the big fight with a guy in a can. There were two big guys, and that's Watson.
Yeah, that's Watson. He's badass. So, yeah.
Okay, well, that's fine, and congratulations on all those pictures of Japanese and dead Germans, and that's how you got to, you know.
Well, yeah, that's how you figure out how to do it. When you look at a picture of the way the guy looks, how dead he is, how'd he get dead? The only way you know how that a guy got dead is when you look at the picture, right?
There was one Japanese. He got dead. He only had one leg left, and that's it.
Yeah, there was one picture. It was pretty gruesome. It was from World War, like, two?
World War One.
World War One, this Japanese guy in the Pacific, and...
That was World War Two.
World War Two, Mr. Henry said.
That was World War One.
What was World War One?
World War One was a different world war, man. It was a different time.
Okay, I mean, God.
Well, it does, Japanese World War One.
Watson says it was World War One where they invaded Iwo Jima or whatever that's called.
Iwo Jima, and it was World War Two. You guys are in a military academy? You got to be kidding me.
It says it's World War Two.
What was Iwo Jima?
What was Iwo Jima?
Huh?
Iwo Jima or
Iwo Jima?
Oh yeah, no, I know what he's talking about. What was Guadalcanal?
Yeah, give me that.
Here's Watson.
Mr. Henry.
Yeah, Watson.
What's Guadalcanal?
Guadalcanal was Guadalcanal. It ain't Guadalcanal, okay? Well, have a little bit of respect. You know, a lot of really good soldiers died there.
I know. I was honoring them at Guadalcanal.
We did a whole Guadalcanal study on it, too.
Yeah, well, guess what, man? You're pronouncing it wrong. It's Guadalcanal, and it was Iwo Jima, and it was World War II.
Well, okay. Well, anyway, in the pictures that we've seen, it was just one leg. It was a Japanese leg, and that's it. And that's how we learned how the guy got killed. When you take a look at how it got...
Well, how do you figure a guy got killed if he's got one leg?
Well, I mean, Watson and I talked about it, and we studied up on it. We figured that he got opened it up on with probably a Marine Corps machine gun or something, and just blasted away the rest of him. The only thing that's left is a leg.
That's been.
The Marines are good at them, machine guns. And
do you think maybe it was a hand grenade or an explosive or something like that? I don't want to talk about this. All I want to say is... Congratulations on the marvelous time that you're having there at Bradley Military Academy. It's called Guadalcanal. It ain't Guadalcanal, and it ain't Bebo Bima or whatever the hell it was you said. It's Iwo Jima.
Iwo Jima. That's the one we had a hard time with, remember?
Yeah,
okay. We're going to get some more frozen yogurt when we go back. We've got to finish the study on it. And By the way, Mr. Henry, thank you last night for that song the lady sang, I've Never Been to Me. I thought it was Bimini, too, just what that was she that she was saying. That was pretty funny, too, about that.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys. See you later.
Yeah, Mr. Henry.
All right, so...
Yeah, you talk about stupid.
Well, you know something? There's nothing those guys said that I ain't heard around here.
What are you talking about, Walla Canal? Yeah, Walla Canal.
Walla Canal?
Ain't that it? I guess it ain't it.
Yeah, you made a mistake, man.
Yeah, I think you did. I think you did, man. All right, so, by the way, a follow-up on... there is one story that I should mention to you. Because it's the subject, as is so many stories that are really important, that are pivotal, and that get reported a lot, misinformation. This guy in Colorado supposedly mailed a notebook to Colorado University. ABC or Fox, no, it was Fox, erroneously reported that it got there well before this man shooting people. It got there afterwards, so Fox... Join the ranks of those that we misreport, you decide. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number, of course, is 877-876-7445. We're on every night here on Phil TV and HD and streaming all across the country, great radio stations. People ask sometimes, well, Phil, where can we hear a good solid stream of the show? Because sometimes they're not in an area where they can hear us, and I say all you got to do is go online, take a look at our affiliates, and there's so many of them that live stream the show nightly, and there's some very, very good live streams of the show, you know.
Yeah, like, well, what's one?
Well, I mean, I don't want to single out one, you know.
Well, but a lot of people do have. We've got to find out what's a good one.
Well, I don't want to single one out, okay? Do you mind?
Well, okay, so you tell them there's a good stream, and they got to go look for themselves?
Yes, they're going to have to go look for themselves, because I'm not going to pick one over the other. You know, I mean, if you want to hear the show, you can always log on to philhenryshow.com, get a backstage pass, and you can watch it and just turn the video off or whatever.
How do you do that?
You just minimize the video screen. You can listen, but you're going to have to listen to it off of your computer. But you can listen to a live stream of our show on any number of great radio stations on the Phil Henry massive, massive network.
Like what?
Will you shut up, bud? I'm not going to say.
WWRL?
Yeah, that's a good one. All right, so Margaret Gray is joining us. We also have Larry Grover. We're going to have a roundtable debate on gun control. And tonight... We're going to work it a little differently. We're going to have more liberals than we would conservatives. Oftentimes, our roundtables have skewed the other way. We've had a liberal and two conservatives. We're going to have two liberals on the line tonight, Dean Wheeler and Margaret Gray, and our conservative, of course, going to be Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County, as we talk with them online tonight about the gun control debate. And let's get up on the line here. Larry Grover. Larry, good evening, sir.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak to the American people on this.
You're welcome. And Margaret Gray has also joined us from Santa Margaret.
Hi, Phil.
And Dean Wheeler from Northern California.
I'm right here, Phil, and Emeralda's with us as well.
So your wife is there?
Yeah, we have Emeralda here, and there's a number of reasons for that. I don't think you want me to go into it.
Okay. Tonight we're going to be talking...
Can I say something, Phil? I just want to ask you, Dean, is it because you had... You said something the other night that a lot of people haven't forgotten, and that was, you haven't hit a woman since you got out of jail.
I wasn't going to bring that up.
All right, hold on for a minute. I don't want this to get out of hand, because I want to talk about one thing. I understand that was a big, you know, a comment that was made, Dean.
Well, if he made that comment, I think I'm already probably 10 points ahead in this debate. I can't believe the a dyed-in-the-wool liberal.
You know, I'll say this. I did say that to Emeralda because she was a little bit out of line the other night with the Hopi dance troupe as we were attempting, Phil, to do the steel walk.
You were doing the steel walk, and you said to her that that you didn't want to hit her because you hadn't struck a woman since you'd gotten out of jail, and I just wonder what that meant.
It's a fair question.
So now it's a fair question, huh?
Yes, sir, it's a fair question. If you guys are going to get stuck on this, Dean, you might as well answer her.
All right. I really don't appreciate being ambushed like this.
I don't think I ambushed you at all. I think what I'm asking here is a question that is of import to Phil's listeners if they're going to give you any credulity. Credulity.
I've heard the word credulity. You don't have to spit it at me like I'm deaf.
I'm not. Excuse me.
No, we know what the word means, Margaret.
Well, not everyone knows what the word means.
I know what the word means. Larry Grover, Ms. Gray.
Yes.
I know what the word means.
And I do, too.
All right. What does it mean?
Are you asking me?
No, I'm asking Dean. What does it mean? What does credulity mean?
I'm not going to be tested this way.
All right. Well, that means...
All right. We're not going to do... Margaret, you're not going to run the show tonight. You're not going to run the show tonight. I'm going to run the show.
No, I am not trying...
I'm running the show.
Phil, I'm not going to be tested by anyone tonight. I'm going to answer questions that if you want me to answer the question why I said what I said, then I will.
Yes, we want to hear the answer.
I will be the one to decide whether we'll hear the answer, and it just so happens, yes. Go ahead.
That's exactly what I just said.
I know that, and I'm telling you, I'm concurring.
Well, who's running the show here?
I'm running the show. Dean?
Okay. The reason why I said to Emeralda the other night, I haven't hit a woman since I got out of jail, is because it's true. Since I left I was in the San Mateo County Jail for 90 days, and that was in 2001. When I got out of jail, I had been inside because I had been remanded for they were going to send me back to New Jersey.
For what?
For possession of heroin. I had skipped bond. I'd skipped bail. And they were, I was going to be extradited back. That's the word.
I was waiting to see if you'd get the word.
Well, you didn't know what the word was, did you?
I didn't think she did, Dean.
Yes, I knew what the word was. I knew exactly what it was.
Anyway, you were in the San Mateo jail. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was in San Mateo jail for a heroin charge. I had for skipping bond in New Jersey, and my attorney worked out the details of a settlement. We went to the DA in New Jersey, the district attorney in New Jersey, and the attorney general in New Jersey. And
how old was this heroin rap?
It was from 1974.
You were a different guy then.
I was a very different man then, Phil, and I was living out here. Not under an assumed name, but...
So that's it. So you were in jail for heroin possession.
No, I was in jail because I was on the warrant. And
well, I mean, six and one half a dozen. There was a warrant for you for skipping bail, and it was a heroin charge. And so what happened?
I had a very good lawyer, and we worked out a deal with the state of New Jersey where I did 2 years... And that was, and then I got time off for good behavior, and I had to pay a fine, and so I'm okay now. And that was, I got out of jail in 2001, and when I went in, I had beaten, I beat up my girlfriend when I went in, and that was when I got arrested. That was for the heroin. I beat up another girlfriend when I got arrested. I beat up about three or four different women. One of them beat me up. I mean, it's...
What kind of a tale is this, Mr. Henry? I had no idea. I don't want to be on the radio with this man.
Oh, come on, will you? We're talking about years ago. The story is nuts. And we're not even into what it is we want to talk about, which is this debate on gun control. Here's a guy that's been in jail. You beat up a girlfriend. How many women have you supposedly beat up?
Mr. Henry, I had no idea that I was going to be talking about this.
Well, you better start talking about it, pal, because it's fascinating to me.
And me. When I was arrested, you have to understand that I was one of the biggest heroin dealers in Weehawken, New Jersey. And I was a pretty good player in terms of heroin. And I was arrested by the New Jersey State Police for a major possession and distribution and everything. At that time, my attorney told me that it was I was looking at, you know, a lifetime behind bars, and that's when I skipped on my bond, and I came to California and moved here and changed my life, turned everything around. I met Emeralda. Then I got arrested when the warrant came up, and I smacked, it wasn't Emeralda, it was another girlfriend that I was cheating on Emeralda with. I smacked her around because I wanted to beat up Emeralda, but I didn't, I love her too much.
Oh, I see. So you beat up the girlfriend.
Well, you had to beat up someone, so it was her. Yes. I mean, you sound like you understand. I do.
Oh, boy, this is great. This is rich. The two liberals. She's been beat up. He beats up women.
You know something? Maybe it's because we've lived a little bit.
Yeah, I bet you have lived a little bit. I bet you've lived a whole lot because of all the money you made on your heroin drug sales and everything like that.
Can I finish?
Okay, yeah, you can finish. Then we got to take a break. This is bizarre.
Anyway, I went inside. I went back to New Jersey. I did 2 years in the deal that my attorney worked out. And
since you got out of jail in 2001?
2001, yeah.
You haven't beat up a woman.
That's right. Well, my hat's off to you. I didn't know the story.
Oh, my God. Your hat's off to him now. He beat up. How many women did you beat up?
Well, you know,
how many women did you beat up?
Probably about a half a dozen.
A half a dozen, and your hat's off to him.
Yes, it is. I'm sorry. Was that a woman that fell?
Hold on. We've got to take a break. Tell up Margaret the cleaner act up, will you?
Yeah, well, you hear what the guy said about beat up women?
Yes, I heard. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back here with Margaret Gray, Larry Grover, and Dean Wheeler, and we're going to talk about gun control, and we're going to get off this whole thing about Dean having been arrested for heroin possession back in the 70s. God.
Phil, I am sorry. I had fettuccine with a cheese sauce.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the Phil Henry Show. Margaret Gray, Dean Wheeler, and Larry Grover. I'm going to start this debate off. We're going to be talking about gun control. I'm going to start the debate off here with Dean, since you've been through some tough times here.
Mr. Henry, this is Larry Grover. Why are you starting with him?
Larry, I've had a night full of arguing. And a week full of it.
I'm just asking, why are you starting with him? You just got his little tale of heroin possession, arrest, escape, fleeing a legal bond. Why are you starting with him?
I'll answer that question.
I didn't ask you, Mr. Wheeler. I'm asking Mr. Hendrick.
Well, it's because I think he feels that I've got a very good view of law enforcement.
That's a good, good assessment.
Oh, I see. Because the guy's been to jail? Because the guy was arrested for...
Let me just run the show, Larry, or you can take a hike.
What did you just do?
All right, let's grow up, huh?
No.
Oh, boy. That's... Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's right. You deserve it. I have to concur with that.
Well, yeah, the two liberals would go, Hey, right there. Everybody listening in America, listen to the two liberals going, You hear that?
Yeah, I do. I agree with that.
Okay, everybody done with the ha-ha?
No, I don't think they are, Phil. I think they need to ha-ha some more, which is basically them humiliating me.
No, Mr. Henry said that I could go first. Yes, he did, because Dean has practical experience in the penal system.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great that you've been to jail. At any time I need to get some information on what it's like in the jails of America, I'll just ask a liberal. Go ahead.
Are we going to... Is this...
No, that's all right.
Go ahead, Dean.
Phil, my feeling is simply this. We can't have these weapons any longer. We can't do it. We can't have it. Now, I have three reasons why I feel the way I do. Number one, these weapons are out of control. Number two, they kill. And number three, how are we going to control these weapons that are killing people? I feel these three points are three points that I believe we should think about. I know they sound as if they're the same, but
they sure do.
Hold on, Larry.
I mean, you know what? When you start talking, I'm going to yell when you're talking.
No, Mr. Henry said I kept my mouth shut.
Shut up, Larry.
Thank you, Phil.
Go ahead.
These three, the weapons that we're talking about, the three points are as follows. They're dangerous and need to be controlled. Number two, these weapons are intended to kill living things. And number three, they are dangerous. Okay. And the third point really reinforces the first.
All right. Well, they need to be eliminated.
I think I can expand on that, Phil.
No, I want to hear from Larry. I want to kind of alternate between liberal and... But you're saying here, Dean...
Well, I can expand on that. I don't need your help. Oh, well, okay. I was going to help you because it sounds like you do need...
I'm talking to Dean right now. Dean, it sounds to me you're right that you are reiterating some things. When you say they're dangerous, yes, they are. My question is, why do they need to be eliminated? Do we not have, as human beings, the ability to understand the danger of these things?
Well, I Phil, look what happened the other night.
But what I'm saying, I don't want to get into things. See, a lot of it has to do with the mental state of the person that owns the weapon, don't you think?
Well, I don't want to talk about mental state because that means that, you know, right now we just know that they're bad. They're really bad. When you start talking about mental state, you are taking the debate away from the gun. And you're putting it into some, you know, heebie-jeebie, woo-boo, you know. It's really weird, you know.
What are you talking about, heebie-jeebie?
Well, you know, who knows? When we say that the guns are dangerous, that is very clear, and everybody knows that it's true. But when you start saying that maybe there's the mentality of a person is wrong, then I think you're getting a little... You know, let me have another drag on that before you throw it away.
And what is so weird about talking about mental health?
Okay, so now you want to talk about mental health when before that Obama proposed it, you didn't want to.
And no, I've always been in favor of national health. I've always been in favor of it.
That is true, Dean. I've heard Phil say that. Well, okay. But I think a lot of people...
No. I believe that national health is important. I think national mental health is very important. And as a matter of fact, I would think that a gun rights advocate like myself, I believe in gun rights, would be in favor of national mental health care because, hey, look at what's... This is something that we can control. We can make these people either well or institutionalize them or something.
Well, you're never going to get no conservative to think that way, and that's just how I feel about it. And if you do, then It's too much to hope for. It really is. I say we just take the weapons, and in the words of Lynyrd Skynyrd, throw them into the bottom of the sea. I thought that was hold on. That was very, very good. It was very, very, very well said. I thought. Well, are you being sarcastic?
Yeah, she's being sarcastic.
No, I am not being sarcastic. I'll do it again. I thought it was wonderful.
Okay, fine. All right, Margaret. We're going to go to Larry Grover now.
I was next.
No, you're not next. Larry Grover is next as we continue this discussion. Larry, go ahead.
All right, Phil, thank you. I'm Larry Grover. I'm with Conservatives of Kern County. And before you interrupt, Ms. Gray, I'd just like to say I'm saying that so people know who I am because you and Mr. Wheeler have dominated 20 minutes of this conversation.
Hold on for a minute. I didn't say anything.
All right, let just... Shut up.
Why did you...
Shut up.
Fine.
Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, thank you, Phil. I'm Larry Grover, and I am the chairman of Conservatives of Kern County. As a conservative, I've been a lifelong gun rights advocate, as Mr. Henry just so intelligently put it. And as being a gun rights advocate, that means I believe that we have the right, we have the responsibility to bear arms. I don't just think you have the right to go and use a weapon if you so need it. I think you should, and I think you must in the times we live in. The terrible occurrences that we see happening around us as the result of the use of a gun has nothing to do with the gun. It has to do with the idiot, the mental case, the mental deficient, the weird ass, whatever you want to call them, that had got a hold of this thing. All right? To that end, not only should we have the right to bear arms, you better. And to that point, I believe that we need to institute in some way, Mr. Hendry, mandatory gun ownership. And I know it sounds radical. And
you got to be kidding me.
Oh, my God. Are you crazy? Well, hold on. I'm talking to Mr. Hendry. I'm not talking to you people.
Well, my God, you have to answer for a jackass opinion like that.
That is really jackball of you. And well, what's jackball about it?
Mandatory, you want to enforce gun ownership?
Yes, yes. I want people to be forced to own a gun and be forced to know how to use it legally and properly. Only then are we going to be able to protect ourselves. And to be perfectly honest with you, Mr. Wheeler, if you feel so bad about things and you feel like you can't take it any longer, well, you'll have something very convenient.
I'm going to dump that.
By God, I never thought I'd hear anything like that before in my life. And
Mr. Grover, I will not have that kind of conversation.
All I said was...
Again, you want me to hang up on you?
No.
Okay, then enough of that.
Oh, my God. I've never had nobody say to me the things that he said. And, well, Dean, I will tell you this. As a fellow liberal, I think that you do sound a little depressed, and I think the fact that you beat women up, it makes me a little less sympathetic. Do I think you should shoot yourself? No, I don't.
All right, we're taking a break. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
What?
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show, and Dean Wheeler, along with Larry Grover and Margaret Gray, as we talk about the gun control. All right, so I've got Dean. You believe that these weapons need to be removed, no matter what they are. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, Phil. I don't think that these weapons should be left in the hands of private citizens. They are far too dangerous. And
no matter what the weapon is.
No matter what the weapon is, it is dangerous. Of course, I believe that you should have the right to defend yourself, but you do not have the right to defend yourself to the extent that you use a weapon that can kill someone. And I know that that sounds stupid, okay?
Yeah, it sounds stupid.
Well, I'm not done here yet. I know it sounds stupid, but it's the best that I can come up with in the 25 minutes that I had before I knew I was going to be on your program.
Well, we'd called you a full day ago.
You called a day ago?
Yes.
Who did you speak with?
I guess we talked to Emeralda.
You talked to Emeralda. That's the last person. I got a 25-minute heads up. Emeralda, honey?
All right. Now, Dean, why do I think you're going to smack her?
No, I'm not. I can tell you right now, Dean, if I hear you hit that woman, there'll be no place you can hide. I'm not going to do anything wrong.
Yeah, but I concur with that, and I can't stand either one of you.
I'm not going to do it. I'm asking my Emeralda, did the Phil Hendry Show call?
Yes, it did.
The Phil Hendry Show called when?
I called yesterday.
He called yesterday? Then why did you tell me at whatever it was, 9:30, that they wanted me for an interview?
Oh, it slipped my mind.
It slipped your mind? So I'm on his show right now, sounding like a stuttering, mumbling god. I want to do it.
Yeah, he wants to hit.
All right, Dean, don't do it.
Do you feel like hitting her? I do. I got to hit her.
Don't you hit her. Don't you do it.
Dean, don't blame your wife, okay? You should be well-versed in this topic.
It doesn't make... I can be as well-versed in the topic as I want to be, but if she doesn't tell me, then it'll be how you go.
Bill, let me pick up here, because obviously Dean's in no shape. I don't know why. I've heard him on your program before. I think emotionally he has absolutely... He does not have what it takes to deliver an argument that needs to be delivered. May I?
Go ahead.
Bill, you know me. I've been in liberal circles for many, many years. I'm a writer. I travel in those circles. I know what those people are thinking. I know what I think. And when it comes to gun control, I think we are all agreed. Yes, they must be controlled. Yes, they must be at some point eliminated. But there has to be, at some point as well, a elimination, if you will, or an incarceration of individuals that irritate or otherwise impede the discourse. I'm speaking right now, because he's at hand, of Dean Wheeler. Now, I don't want to shoot him, but when he whines like a woman, and I am a woman, but when he sounds like more of a woman than I, when he is, want us to feel sorry for him because he had to beat up women, when he tells us about his heroin arrests, when he whines like a bitch.
I guess she lost it, huh?
Margaret, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm just going to conclude by saying this. When he whines like that, boy, I can't think of anybody more deserving of a bullet.
You heard what she just said.
You heard what she just said. Yes, I did.
You heard it.
Okay, I did hear it, and it was out of line. Way out of line.
Well, I'll tell you something. I understand where she's coming from. Because your conversation with Mr. Wheeler, because you beat up women and now you want guns to be, and when your wife didn't call to Phil Hendry or tell you about the Phil Hendry,
my wife didn't call Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry called my wife and said that I'm going to be on a program.
All right. Then if Mr. Hendry said you should have been well-versed in the topic and would know what you're talking about.
Well, I'm not, okay?
All right. Well, what does that tell you?
It tells me this. It tells me that I need some time to prepare.
God, listen to that.
It does. And I want to compare it.
All right, Dean, I'm going to let you go.
Why?
Because, you know, emotionally, you can't take it. You really are bothering me now with your whining.
Oh, Dean, so
And I'll tell you this. I'm going to check the police reports tomorrow. If I find out that you're smacking anybody around, I will volunteer my testimony and services to the police in any way, shape, or form to have you thrown back into jail for good for beating up women.
Mr. Hendry, I am a liberal, and that's not even it.
Well, no, you're not a liberal. Just because you sit cross-legged and chant ridiculous things.
Oh, Michael, what do you mean ridiculous?
Didn't you say that your mantra was balloon, balloon? Didn't you say that?
Yes, because that is the way to unlock the reservoir of potential. Oh, forget it.
Okay, well, that's good. That's one down, and I hope not two to go. Margaret Gray and Larry Grover are left, and that's fine with me. That's about the last that I want to hear from that man.
I think he's very emotionally distraught.
Well, no kidding. You know, the guy is obviously not able to cope with this forum, Mr. Henry.
I don't think he should be on debates. I've talked to Dean one-on-one where, yes, he sounds like a complete weird-ass, but he doesn't lose it. And, you know, that's what we heard here.
Well, Phil, you know, the things that man admitted to tonight on your program...
All right, so we found out that he had heroin arrests, that he was extradited to New Jersey, that he cut a deal with the attorney general there, that he came back to California, that he got, he's been smacking girls around since the 70s, but he hasn't done it since 2001. I'll give him credit for that, but I don't trust him any longer.
If he comes on with the wife, you know.
I heard the broadcast you did the other night where you had the Native Indians.
Native Americans, man.
Native Americans.
All right, Native Americans. And they were dancing and singing and howling up a storm or whatever, and Wheeler had to tip them, what, $50 a dance? What was that?
I don't know what that was. I don't know what that was. I had no idea.
Well, it was some kind of a Native American festival, and he wanted them to be there
for the interview that he was, I know what it was the steel walk.
Yes, he was walking on hot steel.
Walking on hot steel, there you go. There you go, that tells you everything you need to know about that weird ass. Walking on hot steel, huh? And then the next thing you know, he's tipping the Native American, and I looked in your show log. Well, what was the name of that group?
Well, apparently it was the Bob Running Bear and the Adobe Boys or something.
Yes, it's a country western group.
Well, then what were they doing, Indian chants?
Well, they're an entertainment troupe. I don't know where Dean got them. He probably got them out of the entertainment section of the Yellow Pages.
I thought they were an authentic tribal dance group.
Well, yes, they are Native Americans.
But they're a country western group.
Yes, they're a country western. And Dean hired them and told them what he wanted. And I talked to Bob. Bob Running Bear is a friend of mine. And he said, yeah, sure, we can do that. So I don't know.
So he got conned. That guy is all kinds of bad, man. He's all kinds of weird. All right, let's sum up here. Larry, go ahead.
Well, my summation is I've done a lot of debates, Phil, on gun control. I've never been involved in one as wholly and completely disjointed as this one. I don't think we ever really did get into substantial conversation about it, and that's fine with me because the liberals you had on the show tonight, Ms. Gray and this Wheeler, they're the ones, they dug their own grave, they hopped in, and they waved the dirt in after them. That's how I feel about it.
Margaret?
Well, that was a very interesting summation. I'm not going to sum up anything that happened on the program tonight, other than to say, yeah, hello to Bob Running Bear and the Adobe Boys, and you did a great job the other night with Dean. And I don't know why Dean is stupid, but he is. He's a little bit stupid. I'll say that I believe that guns should be outlawed, but not until we force individuals like Dean Wheeler, and if he ever breaks the law, Larry Grover, we force them into a cage where we can keep an eye on them.
In other words, you believe in the police that have guns?
Well, more than that, I believe that not only the police, but I believe that somebody like Wheeler or anyone that has or exhibits these kinds of irrational symptoms, I'd like to put them, at least hold them at gunpoint and force them into a cage. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
All right, so you want to preemptively
incarcerate, yes.
Regardless of whether they've committed a crime, and let's not outlaw the guns until we do that.
Exactly.
So obviously you want civilians to be able to do that.
I want a limited militia state, yes.
And you're a liberal.
What do I look like? What am I doing? Am I talking to myself? Yes.
Well, all right, it's not a weird question considering what you just said. You want a limited militia state to put guys like Dean Wheeler in a cage and then get rid of the guns.
Yes.
Wow, I almost agree with that.
All right, well, I don't, and I think that this evening has come to a screeching halt here with our debate, our discussion, more likely, of Dean Wheeler's mental state, the fact that he was arrested for heroin possession, the fact that he hired what he thought was a Native American dance troupe and was actually a country western band called Bob Running Bear and the Adobe Boys. To play, you know, Indian Native American rainmaking music. I don't know. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The
well,
Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and what are we going to have next hour?
News and information.
Oh, news and information hour. That's right. Sorry. And I thank Margaret and the rest of them. That was a big, fat load of nothing.
Why?
That we didn't figure anything out. I'm not going to go into a debate on gun control with three people that are emotionally underdeveloped.
Well, about Wheeler, man, you know, the other two, I don't know. I thought that if Dean Wheeler pulled it together, he'd be the very intelligent.
You thought if Dean Wheeler pulled it together, he'd be very intelligent. One of the problems that we've got in this show is we keep, you know, these people that we bring on as experts, they've got real problems, real mental problems, you know? All right, one of the things that we like to do here from time to time on the Phil Hendry Show is take a look at our front pages. And as you know, I've often I think I've told you guys, especially in our news and information hour, say, well, we have our front page of the New York Times because my good friend Brian Glicklick got me a Christmas present a number of years ago, 100 years of the New York Times front pages. And so what I do with our Phil TV and HD audience is we look at the front pages of the New York Times on this date in any given year. Earlier in the night, we were looking at, and the date that we are using, since we kind of straddle 2 days here from the West Coast to the East Coast, we're looking, though, at Thursday, the 26th. Today is Thursday the 26th, although we're still kind of in Wednesday night, you know.
But what do you mean?
In other words, 3 hours ahead, they're in it's the 26th on the East Coast, all right?
Yeah, well, what about, like, Mountain Time?
Mountain Time is 12:40, so it's groovy, baby. We're the only guys that are still in yesterday, okay?
Who?
We are. God. Anyway, it is the 26th. So I'm looking at here, July 26th, 1913, and
why that date?
I don't know, man, because we were on 1933, so let's go back 20 years. I don't know. Quit asking me these questions, or I'm going to, you're going to be the next guy that they lead into a cage right behind Dean Wheeler.
Yeah, man, you have to share a cage with Dean Wheeler.
Shut up. Think if you think I'm butt, if I'm butt friendly, and
will you be quiet? All right, so looking at this, we have front page New York Times, the 26th of July, 1913. Wilson stands pat. President Wilson was dealing with the Mexican Revolution, and we were standing with the Mexican government at that time as the Mexican rebels were looking to overtake the Huerta government and establish a new Mexican democracy, which they eventually did do. So the U.S. A little bit on the wrong side here in 1913. I don't think that the entire revolution was, I may be completely wrong here, but I believe that the outcome was in favor of the rebels, and see how I don't know my Mexican history. That's kind of embarrassing.
Well, yeah, you do. You're telling me about when you went, like, motorcycle riding in Baja.
Yeah.
What's that got to do with Mexican history?
Well, but I mean, it was way back.
Because I went motorcycle, but just because I went riding on dirt bikes in Mexico in the 70s doesn't mean that that's Mexican history. That's what I did in Mexico in the 70s.
Ain't that history?
My history? Mexico ain't got it written up any place. And it's in this state, Phil Hendry rode a Husqvarna across the sand dunes of Baja. Now then, there were other stories on the front page of the New York Times, and guess what they had to do with? Police and murders, and suspected murders of police officers, or was it a suicide? A whole thing going on in the New York Police Department in 1913 having to do, here's a story, police called dead comrade a suicide. There was an officer by the name of Cahill who was found dead. They thought he was the victim of burglars. The police said, yeah, that's what they thought. And then further investigation indicated, no, it wasn't burglars that killed him. And now the police were suspected of having killed the man. And the cops now say, no, it wasn't a burglar, it was a suicide. And so Dan and I are sitting there thinking, well, corrupt cops of the past would often call suicide a case of police homicide. And we're wondering now whether this poor man, this Officer Cahill, 1913 New York, was murdered by fellow bluecoats, as they called him in those days, for some reason. Here is another one. Hamilton's chum himself a suicide. This is another New York police thing. The old cottage home of Robert Hamilton has claimed its third victim. The first victim was the son of General Sebastian Hamilton of New York and was the central figure in an 1860 scandal. Now they found another body, who apparently was a New York City police sergeant, and he's dead in Wyoming.
What's that mean?
I don't know. They were using the cottage as a vacation home of some kind, or a vacation spot. Guy's a New York City sergeant, police sergeant, and they find him dead. And comes another murder story that has nothing to do with the police. Plot to murder me, says Sulzer, pointing straight at Tammany Hall. He says he will have Whitman investigated. He won't be frightened off. So here's a guy that he said they were trying to kill him because he's investigating Tammany Hall. And if you know anything about New York history, you know that Tammany Hall stood for and still does stand for corrupt city politics. This man, no longer will the legislature furnish the battleground for Governor Salzer's war on the horses. As far as the governor's concerned, that body is done. Anyway, this guy Salzer, who is the governor of the state of New York, said that they, Tammany was trying to kill him.
Man, that's like saying the mayor of New York trying to kill the governor.
Yes, pretty much like the mayor or whoever these guys were that were running Tammany Hall in those days, trying to kill the governor. You know, you can only get a really good idea of how much better, and I know that that's relative. I understand that it's relative, you know.
Who's relative?
Relative. Relative as in it's relative. You meaning you have to live, you just, never mind. Just never mind.
Yeah.
Just never mind. So, yeah, sure, today we bitch and moan and, well, oh my God, the country's on the verge. You got the emails that I get from people and the comments that we get from people saying, boy, it looks like this is it, man. Yeah, we're on our way down the crap hole now, man. Oh, will you relax? And look at this, man. Look at what people had to put up with back then. Cops getting killed. Cops killing people. Some guy, you know, Mexican Revolution here. What if there was a revolution going on in Mexico right now, man? We wouldn't stop wetting our pants. We wouldn't. If there was a Mexican Revolution going on right now, with all the ability to communicate, it would be in our laps every 5 seconds. We'd be sweating bullets. So here is the city of New York, and yesterday, which was very interesting, yesterday was the 25th, and we were looking at a headline for the New York Times in the 20s, and there were race riots.
Well, you're talking about that.
There were race riots going on. The headline was Negroes Riot. And if you look in this article that was in the New York Times, nowhere in that article was there any mention at all of what the rioting was about. Today, that would top the story. Back then, the story was all about how the police were going to put it down, how the army was going to put it down, who was breaking the law, who did this, who did that. All this stuff about a Negro broke in. They had this whole thing about how a Negro broke into an apartment.
Yeah, shit, it's a Negro broke into a white lady's apartment. Ha, ha, ha. Shut up, man.
Hey, watch it.
Boy, kid.
All right, bud. Yeah, it was very biased, very racist reporting. It was the reporting of the day. It was the reporting of the times. All they cared about in those days was, what did you say? Some Negroes are rioting. How are we going to put it down? And that was the whole article. Today, and as well it should be, the article would have a great deal of information as to what started the riot. Why are people upset? All right, we'll be back with more from our news and information file here next hour. World famous Phil Hendry Show and PhilHendryShow.com. Woo-hoo. Show 877-876-PHIL. We're online at PhilHendryShow.com, PhilHendryShow.com, where you can get a backstage pass to the live streaming video of our show every night at Phil TV Videocast. We also have thousands of hours of archived radio going back over a decade, full shows. We're not talking about 2-minute clips or 3-minute clips, the full 3-hour shows. We have now begun logging all of the hours that we have. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have completed something that has never been completed before, I don't think, in the history of radio. We did it. And if somebody else does it, then they can say they did it, but we were the first. We have archived 3-hour radio shows, just about every single 3-hour radio show we've done over the last 13 years, and we will have had them fully logged now, probably within a month. And, you know.
Come at me.
Yeah, come at me. Come at me, baby. So we're very proud of that. And again, check out our podcast, the free Phil Hendry podcast. That's the free Phil Hendry podcast. That's the only podcast that we endorse. of our radio show. Thank you. All right. Now, this is the ugly news, man, of last week. And, you know, we have avoided talking about this because it just doesn't lend itself to the radio show, man. I mean, what we do primarily here is a satire. And it's a satire of talk radio. The reason why we satirize talk radio is because we don't like talk radio. We think talk radio sucks, and we'll do anything that we can to make fun of it. And that includes making up fake phone calls, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, and I know that 99% of our audience gets it, but there's the handful of stooges, and there's a lot of people who think they do and they don't. But one of the things that we try to do here on the show, and, you know, it's been a long learning curve for me, is we try to avoid any topic until it is safe to talk about that topic, which is highly sensitized. And people are highly sensitive, I should say, and people are sensitized to it, right? And one of those stories was last week. Last week was a shock. It was a brutal shock. And I was on Twitter, I think, with Johnny Bean.
Yeah, you get Johnny Bean, and then the MVP 305.
Yeah, and then MVP 305, the great wrestler in Japan, who is also, I follow him, and he got on there and he said, "Hey guys, you might not want to," because I was talking to Johnny about the Batman movie and the Spider-Man movie, and you know, the differences between them and which is good, which isn't, and then. Then our my man OC from London, who's a radio personality in London radio, an absolute radio, he jumped in because he had just seen it. So, and it had just debuted in London, I think, a few days before it did here. And then the MVP came on and said, "You guys might want to stow all that stuff because something really bad has just happened." And I said, "What the hell?" And check the news. And it was ugly. So that's where it all just kind of, no more talk about any of that stuff, man. And now, today is Wednesday. Well, today's Thursday morning. And now is the first day that I feel comfortable of not, I don't want to get into the subject of what happened there, but the whole conversation about gun control, you know, we did, which, of course, we didn't do it very well because, you know, I think in a lot of ways that was a perfect example of the gun control debate. It's a debate that is conducted very stupidly. Did I mention Jason Alexander?
Yeah, you said about the essay he wrote.
Yeah, I thought he was very, I thought I was very, very happy to see what he did. He's an anti-gun guy, but he's, and when I say that, he's like a gun control guy, but he wrote this big essay. He said, now, I think I mentioned this yesterday, he said, if you want the other side of the argument, a very intelligently argued other side of the argument, let me recommend this man's blog. And he pointed to a guy's blog who took exception to everything that Jason Alexander said in his. But I thought it was one of the greatest exchanges I ever saw, where he said, I wrote this, now let me point you to a man who intelligently refutes much of what I said. I don't know whether he really felt that it was intelligently refuted or whether he was just being polite. But the fact is, he said, having said what I said, I'd like you to see the other side. That was, that's a mensch, baby. That's a man right there.
Yeah, but what if they read the article and they don't agree?
They read the article, don't agree with what?
Don't agree with who?
They don't agree with Jason Alexander and the thing that he said.
Well, then they arrived at that honestly and intelligently. How can you fault that?
Yeah, but he just defeated the own purpose.
He defeated the own purpose.
Yeah. You mean he defeated his own purpose. Yeah.
All right. No, he didn't. What is his purpose, man? What is his purpose?
His purpose to get people want to be against guns.
No, I don't see it that way. I see that his purpose is the seeking of truth. He wants to know what the truth is. He wants to arrive at the truth. He wants to arrive at the best possible decision for the country. That's what I see it as being, okay?
Well, is he against the gun and everything?
He has the stand of being against the gun. He took the stand.
Okay, then he put a guy was arguing against him.
Hold on, bud. That's his stand. But then he said, you know what? Here's the other side. And he pointed people, he linked the article, the blog that was written by this other guy. That, to me, is a guy that wants people to have the facts. He wants people to have all the information, or at least he wants people who to have different opinions. And that's probably the better That's the better thing to say. I don't think you're going to get the facts reading opinion pieces. In fact, you're not likely to get the facts reading opinion pieces. Go out and get the facts yourself. Then, if you're still stuck, then start reading the opinions.
Well, yeah, but so?
So, what I'm saying is, and I can't believe, well, yes, I can believe you don't get it, bud, because you don't get a lot of stuff. Hold on for a minute. What he's saying is, here's what I think. Now, here's something that another guy thinks that's opposed to me. Now, you make up your mind. I think that's an honest thing to do.
Yeah, I think the guy deserves credit.
I do, too. I think the guy deserves credit, and it was a great thing. And I, for my part, for however little part it was, I thank them. Now, having said all that, man, this is the story today. A notebook sent through the mail by suspected killer James Egan Holmes before Friday morning's massacre was delivered at the University of Colorado's Anschutz Medical Campus on Monday, the day of his first court appearance. It was delivered on Monday, the day of his first court appearance. National news organizations quoting unnamed law enforcement sources said the notebook detailed Holmes' plans to kill people. Neither officials with the university nor law enforcement would discuss the contents of the package. Fox News, an anonymous Fox News source, reported that the package was received July the 12th and sat on a loading dock. And according to a press release by the university, that is an inaccurate report. The university said the suspicious package discovered at the Facility Services Building on Monday was delivered to the campus by U.S. Postal Service the same day, immediately investigated and turned over to authorities. In addition to Fox News, the Wall Street Journal, CBS, NBC, and CNN reported law enforcement sources had confirmed the notebook contained drawings about a massacre and was sent to a Colorado University psychiatrist. However, the biggest part of this story that has to be said is that the Colorado University received it on Monday, delivered by the campus police the same day, and it was immediately turned over. This, according to the university, they said that this report by Fox News from an anonymous source that it was delivered on July 12th was horse hooey. They had been mum on the details surrounding the delivery of two packages that caused the evacuation of the campus Monday. On Wednesday afternoon, released a statement to rebut a claim by Fox News that the package had been delivered on July 12th and went unopened for more than a week. Now, they're saying that they were mum as a way, I think, of the news, you know, people standing shoulder to shoulder on this thing.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, it makes Fox look like less of a bunch of stumble-bum jackasses if the Denver Post, which is who we're reading here, says, well, you know, they were mum on it, so naturally, you know, you're going to... No, not naturally. And if you're a newsman and you know what you're doing, I don't care if they're mum or not, and you draw the wrong conclusion from that, you just stuck your head up the you-know-what, okay? So don't give me this stuff about how, well, you're going to draw a conclusion. You don't draw any... You go ahead and draw your intelligent conclusion, Mr. Intelligent Reporter. Guess what? You were wrong. All right, we're coming right back here. Our News and Information Hour, Phil Henry Show. Bud,
Yeah, I'm going to have an iron swine on how to do on the mail.
On the mail. Don't be doing any...
No, we're not going to do no... It's not going to be insensitive or nothing.
Yeah, huh? All right, well, we'll be back here with Iron Swine, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Now, Bud, you got an announcement to make?
Yeah, this Iron Swine, we changed our mind on an Iron Swine. And it's going to be a different one.
Yeah, well, we're not going to do no gun Iron Swine because of the sensitivity of it.
This one's on a Chick-fil-A of the filet sandwich.
Chick-fil-A sandwich. Okay, go ahead.
Again, we're not going to do any... We're going to do Chick-fil-A.
Now, Iron Swine. And today, Iron Swine's going to go to Chick-fil-A to have lunch.
Well, I sure am hungry. You think I'll go to Chick-fil-A and have a lunch?
Iron Swine's going to go to his car.
I'll do the engine. That's a nice day. Chick-fil-A, they've said that gay people shouldn't be married and everything. Iron Swine does believe, well, we do sort of believe in gay marriage, but I don't want to be gay.
And so Iron Swine is having an argument with himself about whether he's gay or not. And
no, I'm not saying whether I'm gay.
Oh, I'm sorry, about gayness.
But I'm going to have a chick sandwich because I want to have some of the Chick-fil-A. Well, go ahead, you do the go.
Chick-fil-A, what's your order?
Yeah, give me a Chick-fil-A.
Okay, and you want to have anything to drink?
I'll take a Coke or a Diet Coke or whatever.
We only have Dr. Pepper.
But yeah, okay, fine, Dr. Pepper.
You want Diet Dr. Pepper?
What are you ad-libbing for?
That'll be $3.
Iron Swine got a Chick-fil-A sandwich and David Pepper.
Dr. Pepper. Dave.
Yeah. Dr. Pepper. And he goes to drink it. Boy, sure I'm thirsty. Now I'm gonna have a bite of a Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Man, Iron Swine, what happened?
It tastes like butt. This is Iron Swine. Close down the Chick-fil-A.
Why? Because we don't like gay people?
No, because your chicken sandwiches taste like they were rubbed on someone's butt.
This has been Iron Swine as he closed down a chicken sandwich shop.
Iron Swine, yeah, we closed the chicken down, the chicken shack.
This is Iron Swine.
What?
Well, my question is on this particular bit. Well, never mind. So, Iron Swine...
No, go ahead.
Well, no, I don't want to ask the question that I wasn't asked, but Iron Swine shut down Chick-fil-A because their sandwiches taste like butt.
Yeah, their sandwiches taste bad.
Yeah.
All right.
Ain't that what you said?
I never said that. I never said that. I never ate at a Chick-fil-A. I was at... I drove by a Chick-fil-A just about every day when I lived in Atlanta because there was a Chick-fil-A on one of the routes that I took to wherever it was I was going. If I was going up to Buckhead,
what's the name of that?
It's called Buckhead. It's kind of the nightclub area, a higher end area of Atlanta. In any event, I never had a Chick-fil-A sandwich. No, I didn't avoid it. But I just, it's never turned me on, the idea of chicken sandwiches, man. I've always been a burger guy, you know?
Yeah, but you told me you had, what about a Jack in the Box?
Okay, that's the one chicken sandwich that I've lived on for a long time. I used to love Jack in the Box spicy chicken sandwiches with a slice of Swiss cheese. Oh, man, I love that. But that was a long time ago. I don't even know if they still serve it, but I love that. But I don't eat chicken sandwiches. I make them, maybe. I'll eat a chicken sandwich at home, but I'm not going to go and get one for takeout. My whole thing is burgers or sometimes a fish sandwich, you know.
Why not chicken?
I don't know.
Yeah, if you're going to have fish, why don't you have a chick or a Chick-fil-A?
I'm not having Chick-fil-A. I told you, man.
No, but I mean any chick.
Any chicken?
Or yeah, well, why do they call it chick?
No, they call it Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, why?
Because it's just a play on chicken, Chick-fil-A, get it? It's got nothing to do with anything. As to why I don't eat chicken, I don't like to eat chicken from a fast food joint. I don't know why. I just don't. Maybe I had a bad experience. I think I did. In fact, I'll tell you, I think I ate a chicken sandwich once from some place that tasted just like you were saying, bud, like ass. And,
what do you think, man?
They probably rubbed their butt.
Will you shut up? No, it was lousy. Just lousy. It tasted bad. And from that point, you know how it is. When you have a piece of food that tastes bad, like it's just it went bad or something, you don't ever want to eat that again from that restaurant. In fact, you barely want to go to that restaurant. And I will not name the restaurant. Now it's coming back to me. And I'm not going to name the sandwich. But from that point forward, I've never had the damn chicken sandwich that anybody serves anywhere. I don't give a damn what it is. Now, the fish, I don't know why it is. The fish sandwiches I'll eat, you know?
Yeah, you told me you all have a BK fish?
I'll eat the BK fish. I had that fish sandwich from McDonald's. I like them. I like them. It's fried fish. Now, again, you know, I'm on a diet right now, so none of that, I don't eat any of that stuff now, but back in the day when I was a fat tub of guts, 306 pounds, I can't believe I didn't die of a stroke, man.
Man, I can't believe yours that big.
Yeah, you got to do some pictures of yourself, man.
There's a picture of me on the website. I went back on our PhilHenryShow.com website, and I found a picture, and I put it on Instagram. If any of you guys follow me on Instagram, there's a picture of me and my friends Anita and Mark McGregor, and we are standing together. It is Easter 2010, and I'm over at their place. They used to live just a couple of blocks away from me at the El Pacifico, and... is it Easter 2010? Yes. So I was on my way, if not at 306 pounds, I was pretty damn close. And I can't believe that I didn't croak, man, that I didn't just die of a heart attack. I can't believe it, you know?
Didn't you say you, didn't you go to the Caribbean that year?
We went down to the Caribbean that year. In fact, we did the video casts from the Caribbean. And I was there for 2 weeks, and we sent 2 weeks' worth of video casts back from St. Vincent and the Grenadines. And I don't know what I looked like in any of those video casts. I must have been a fat tub of guts, you know. But I do remember doing a lot of swimming and feeling pretty good. But that was a bad summer. So anyway, why am I saying all this stuff is to simply say that... I should have freaking died of some kind of a stroke or something, but I don't eat that chicken, man. But the fried fish, I dig it. That BK fish, yeah, and all that stuff.
What about fish and chips?
Man, I love fish and chips. They got a malt vinegar and stuff.
Fish and chips is fantastic. I don't know what I'm going to be able to go back to eat. I'm at 234 right now. I'm on my way to 210, and I will tell you that When I go back to eating normal, when I hit the 210 mark, I'm going to go back to eating things that I like. But I'm also going to be exercising a hell of a lot more because I'm not going to put the weight back on. No way, man.
Well, how many pounds you want to put on?
I don't want to put on any pounds. 210, man. Give or take, you know.
Give or take how much?
3 pounds.
God, man, you're not going to be able to eat nothing.
Oh, that's what it's about, you know. And that's what it's about. If you want to eat like a fat pig, you can eat like a pig, but you better go out and move your ass and burn that stuff off. That's the name of the game. These people that are on TV, let me tell you something. It's not easy, I understand. I see this commercial on TV, some bull crap, you know, about, well, just take this pill. Yeah, my ass. And there's somebody saying, oh, it's just impossible. No, it's not impossible, but it is hard. And, you know, think about this, man. I lost this weight as a single bachelor. I don't have anybody breathing down my neck.
Yeah, you don't have nobody saying, oh, let's go out to dinner, this and that.
Yeah, exactly. I don't, you know, no pressure. You know, I run my life. And in order to do that, you know, in order to lose that kind of weight, I'm not saying you got to be single, but I am saying you got to be able to just tell people, I ain't doing it. I ain't going to. If you feel like you're going to eat, don't do it. Just don't do it. You know, it's got to be an environment, you know, where nobody is hassling you at all. I mean, because the minute you get too many hassles, you're going to want to go back to eating big freaking chocolate chip cookies and all kinds of stuff. You don't want to do that. All right, coming back on our News and Information Hour, Phil Henry Show, the matriarch of the Jackson family has been found in Arizona. What is the lady's name? Her first name? Catherine Jackson was found because this headline is messed up, but now she's lost custody of the children. We're going to hear the whole story. Very, very strange. The Jackson family, there's too many people breathing down their neck for them to have a family. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry. Famous Phil Henry Show.
Kidding, bud.
Yeah, but you know,
I'm kidding, bud. Well, you guys are so weird, I'm telling you.
Yeah, you don't want to say that.
What do you mean, don't want to say what?
Well,
I'm telling these guys when we did that TV show Teachers, And there was one of the shows, a young actor, he was a teenager, maybe he was like 13, 14, and, you know, every day the tutor would come. They have a tutor that comes and takes the kids off the set, and they give them their schooling for the day, because you got to go to school. Even if you're working on a TV show and you're there all day, they have to go to school. So there is a tutor. It's like homeschooling. And this kid seemed, I don't know, but he hung around me a lot. And I know that I'm friendly to people, especially kids. And Bud's going, oh, you better watch out. People are going to think you're a perv.
Well, he will.
Well, you know something, man? What is that about? So you can't, in other words, I understand that kids need to be wary of adults because of the creeps that we got these days. There's no question about that. But this is a work environment, you idiot. I'm standing there, and there's the kid, and he's coming up. Hey, how you doing? So I'm talking to him. What, am I not supposed to talk to the kid?
Well, you got to watch out, man.
Yeah, I know you got to watch out. But I'm not going to hide the fact that I talked to a 13-year-old guy while we're working on a TV show. Are you nuts or something? And he seemed like a pretty lonely kid, I'm telling you.
Yeah, so would you invite him to go roller skating or something?
I'm going to belt you, man. Watch it. No, I was talking to him. That's all. And I made the comment because we weren't even talking about that, you jackball. We're talking about this Michael Jackson thing. He's got children, as you know, the late Michael Jackson, that are in the custody of his mother, Katherine Jackson, or were. Because what happened was Katherine Jackson went to Arizona for some R&R, rest and recuperation. She was at a place called the Miraval Arizona Resort and Spa. It's in Tucson. One of her grandsons secured temporary custody of the children who have been in Catherine's care since the death of their father, Michael. Now, I don't know why we'll read this, but apparently they were concerned about her whereabouts. They didn't know where she was. The children themselves were apparently upset. They didn't know where their grandmother was. Katherine Jackson is alive and seemingly well, but also rather upset by what she calls lies circulating about her and her family. She said, quote, I'm here today to let everybody know that I am fine. I am here with my children, and my children would never do a thing to me like that, holding me against my will. It's very stupid for people to think that. This was the feeling that she was being held against her will in Arizona by some of the children, Janet Jackson, Jermaine, Tito. I don't know if these are the specific people that were accused, but that's what we're talking about. This was the a statement made by the Jackson family matriarch, a tape statement to ABC. Rebbe, Randy Jackson, Janet Jackson, the three were by her side. Who's Rebbe?
I don't know, man. So Rebbe Jackson.
I know it'd be Rebbe Jackson. I don't know who that is. I'm sorry, that name. Is I don't know.
What about Rebecca?
I don't know. There's a Latoya. There's a Janet. I don't know who. Anyway. But while she was at Miraval Arizona Resort and Spa in Tucson for some R&R, one of her grandsons, secured temporary custody of Michael Jackson's children. So this would be a son of one of her children. So it would be either the son of Janet or Rebbe or one of those guys.
What about Michael?
It ain't going to be the son of Michael Jackson's kids are the subject of the custody.
They could take... Well, I guess they're not going to get custody of themselves, right?
No, they're not going to get custody of themselves. Wow.
God, man, are you stupid or something? Well, it said one of the grandkids.
Jeez.
What are you looking at?
I'm looking at you. Yeah, that's right, bud. They got custody of themselves. They went to court and got custody of themselves.
Shut up.
Don't tell me to shut up.
Man, you're strictly from hunger, man.
Yeah.
All right, anyway. So one of the grandsons got custody of his nieces and nephews, basically. The grandmother is devastated. This is Katherine, and she says she's headed home ASAP. Before I left, I put everything in order with the appropriate people to take care of my children for me, and it's really bad to hear that what's going on at home and the children have been taken away. But I know that I'll get there in time to get them back. After I finish this, I will be on my way home. Now, it was reported last week when they were looking for Katherine Jackson that the children themselves, the Michael Jackson's children, those that are in the care of Katherine, were worried about where their grandmother was. They didn't know where she was. Where is she? Why doesn't she call us? Apparently, they attempted to call her, and they did not let the call go through. One of the children, Janet, one of the ones that was there in Arizona with her, would not let the grandkids talk to their grandmother. I don't know whether that, you know, whether they had the best of intentions, I'm sure. Maybe they wanted their grandmother to relax. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, it's about trying to take a relaxation.
Right, but you know, when the kids are worried, you want to talk, you want to make them feel better. Put them on the phone. Hi, I'm okay. Everything's good. I'm coming home soon. They wouldn't let her talk. That's what the grandkids are claiming. She says that some of her children brought her to Merivale for some much needed rest. I had a very good time there, and if anyone wants to rest, I think they should come here, said the 82-year-old woman. Okay, so the Merivale Arizona Resort and Spa got a good plug. Because there's a lot of lies that have been put out there, and I'm going home to straighten them out, and this kind of stuff doesn't make sense. So I want to say goodbye, and I'm on my way home. Now, Rebbe, Randy, Janet, Jermaine, and Tito penned a letter last week to the executors of Michael's estate, accusing them of fraudulently placing themselves in control by way of a fake will and demanding that they resign. Tito has since retracted his signature from the letter, just as his 34-year-old son, TJ, was successfully petitioning to be temporary guardian. So that's the grandson, Tito's son, temporary guardian to Michael's kids. So his father retracted his name from this letter, accusing the will of being fraudulent. Tito, meanwhile, is getting custody of the kids. What the hell?
How do you know all this stuff's accurate?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, this is the news media and the people inserting their big fat noses. And what I mean by that, the gossip mongers sticking their noses into what's going on. You know, family politics and family relationships are very complicated. And they're only understood by the people involved. And for outsiders to apply any kind of their own logic to what goes on in any family is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I don't even know, like you said, Robert, I don't know if half this stuff is true.
Well, what are you saying? Like, nobody's saying that they did not try to go get custody of the kids?
I'm not saying that. But there might have been a misunderstanding as to what was going on with the grandmother. Now that it's been straightened out, maybe they're not trying to get custody anymore. Tito has taken his name off of this letter. Catherine says she left the kids with TJ and a full staff, including nannies, housekeepers, and a cook, and that someone in the house inexplicably sent all the employees away. So there's TJ. He's got the kids. The kids can't talk to their grandmother. TJ is getting worried now. The kids are telling him stuff. So he's what? He's going to get custody?
Yeah, I would too if they don't want him to talk.
Well,
who sent all the staff home?
Probably TJ sent the staff home. I don't know who sent the staff home. Anyway, I don't know who did that, says Catherine, but they don't have that power, and they shouldn't have done it, she continued. And now the people are saying the kids are there with nothing to eat. I'm sure they have something to eat, but it's probably not healthy because the cook isn't there. Spoken like a true grandmother. But since I've also been away, my guardianship, which I just said my children have been taken away from me, my guardianship has been taken from me. I spoke to my grandson TJ, and I also spoke to Prince and Paris last night, and I told him I would be home today, and they're waiting for me to come. TJ is the one that wanted temporary guardianship. The children just talked to their grandmother, so that's good. So is TJ going to relent and give the guardianship back? Was he just the victim of some crazy misunderstanding? Is he okay now? You know?
Yeah, well, he may feel okay, but somebody sent the chef home, and nobody knows what did it.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. You tell the chef to go home.
What do you mean? Okay, maybe he did.
Maybe he did, but maybe somebody...
It could have been like a crank phone call or something. Like someone said... Tell the chef to go home. I don't know.
You know, sometimes I think you guys are doing shtick.
What do you mean?
A crank phone call, tell the chef to go home.
I don't know. I'm saying if he didn't do it and the grandmother didn't do it.
It could be somebody that wants to mess him up and call up and disguise their voice.
As who?
As, I don't know, Michael. Well, not Mike. Well, maybe Michael Jackson. If someone doesn't know he's dead.
Someone doesn't know he's dead. These are his kids.
Yeah, man, his kids.
Okay, I didn't mean that.
Yeah, that's right. Let's call up the Michael Jackson's kids. Maybe they don't know their own father's dead, and we'll pretend we're Michael Jackson. We'll send a chef home. You're out of your mind.
I forgot about that.
Uh-huh. Finally, so Catherine, she says she didn't call anybody from Arizona because she gave up her phone when she arrived, not wanting to make or receive calls while she was resting. Her assistant, Janice Smith, had been touching base with TJ over the phone to make sure everything was okay at home. She says she thinks that today's court ruling was based on a bunch of lies, but I have a good idea who's doing that and who's behind that. Aha!
Yeah, I wonder who it is.
Hold on. TJ, who is now the recipient of the $86,000 a month in monthly child support payments Catherine was receiving from Michael's estate, is petitioning to be the cousin's permanent guardian. His lawyer said in court today that his client was worried for Catherine's well-being and didn't trust the aunts and uncles who had whisked her away to Arizona. The kids love TJ and trust him. This is good news. Oh, this is a disaster. This TJ, this piece of garbage, is trying to just get his hands on 86 G's a month.
What are you going to say that for?
Because that's what I think, okay? I believe that this woman took off for rest and relaxation because she has these children. She's an 82-year-old woman trying to keep up with little kids. So she needs a rest. Great. She goes off for the rest. Now she's got a misunderstanding with the kids who are not putting phone calls through to her from the children. And she's got this assistant, this Janice, whoever the hell. Somebody ought to talk to her. The kids can't get through to her. They get nervous. They say to TJ, hey, you know, this and that. TJ sees an opening, you know.
Yeah, well...
Look at, man, if she said she's okay, then why wouldn't TJ just, okay, there's a big misunderstanding, go ahead, have the guardianship of the kids back. I didn't understand, it's cool. But no, he's pressing this, he's pressing the issue. He wants to get, I think that guy's a scumbag, okay? I may, of course, change my opinion tomorrow.
Oh, great, man, call him a scumbag now, and people are going to think he's a scumbag.
Yeah, I got a real influence, man, with the, yeah, everybody's going to, oh, Phil Henry called him a scumbag? Well, by God, then the guy must be. All right, we'll be back, Phil Henry Show. With a conclusion of this fall-de-roll, 877-876-PHIL. It is the news and information out here in the Phil Henry Show. Right
Truth
back.
Is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, this is a story that has been—it's been a big one in this neck of the woods. The Anaheim police, actually in Orange County, California, there have been a few police-related fatalities that have gotten people of all racial origin. I guess is the way to. I mean, seriously, it's not just—it's not a black versus the cops, whites versus the cops, Hispanic. Some of these have been issues involving. All the people in the community having issues with the police of one municipality or another. It's not just the Anaheim police, it's not the Orange County Sheriff. It's just some really rough interaction with local police. In this case, it's the Anaheim Police Department. And the mother of an unarmed man who was shot by Anaheim police has condemned the violent protests against the killing that have taken place. She said she did not want violence to be her son's legacy. Her news conference followed a fourth day of violent protests over Saturday's police shooting of Manuel Diaz and the Sunday police shooting of another man who fired at police during a pursuit. A police dog escaped shortly after Diaz was shot Saturday and bit a bystander. Mr. Diaz, according to the police, was reaching into his waistband. They thought he was going to pull a gun, and I don't know if, and he did not have a weapon on him. An unarmed man who was shot by Anaheim police officers, the mother, has condemned violent protests against the killing. She said, I watched as my son took his last breath. I watched as his heart stopped beating for the last time. Please, please, please stop the violence. It's not going to bring my son back, and this is the worst thing any mother could go through. In the latest wave of protests, as many as 600 demonstrators surged through downtown Tuesday night, smashing shop windows, setting trash fires, and hurling rocks and bottles. Mrs. Holzar, Genevieve Holzar, the mother of Manuel Diaz, she said her family had not participated in any of this stuff. At an earlier news conference, Mayor Tom Tate said the U.S. Attorney's Office had agreed to review the officer-involved shootings and that he planned to meet with members of that office and the FBI on Friday. The shooting and resulting demonstrations marred the image of the Anaheim police. After the police shooting, the mother condemned the violence. It's also marred the image of Orange County, which is and Anaheim, the home of Disneyland and Angels baseball. But it's also a city, and this is true, teeming with rather gritty apartments and low-income housing. If you've ever been to Anaheim, and I don't know how many of you have, but when you go to Orange County, people will think erroneously that, oh, it's the OC. Isn't that where the, you know?
Yeah, think of all millionaires.
Yeah, they're thinking about Newport Beach. It's like thinking about West Palm Beach is Palm Beach with all these. Well, no, you go to West Palm Beach and you're going to meet up with some real redneck down at the heels people. And I, not that there's anything wrong with redneck, but I mean, chain link fences and mason block houses, man. They got that in West Palm Beach, too. Well, the same thing in Orange County. There's a lot. Santa Ana, Anaheim, Santa Ana PD have got a gang problem, and a resultant gang detail among the Santa Ana Police Department is probably just as active as the L.A. police are. And Anaheim and Orange, these are not what I call, you know, these are not bucolic communities, man.
Yeah, they're not near the ocean or nothing.
Yeah, if they're near the ocean, they'd be better.
If they were near the ocean, they'd be better.
Yeah, it'd be more high income.
Whatever, man. I don't know. So yeah, you know, you go to Orange County, you've got some problems. So the image of Orange County, maybe the image of Orange County is good insofar as it helps Disneyland and it helps the this, that, and something else. But the fact is, this whole bullcrap about behind the Orange Curtain, forget it, man. You can talk about a certain part of Orange County being very conservative and this and that, but there's a big part of Orange County that's, you know, working class, it's ethnic, and it ain't conservative. I'll tell you that much. Like much of California, the city of more than 330,000 has changed significantly since Disneyland put it on the map in 1955. With its growth spurt, the once mostly white population is now more than 50% Hispanic, and there's a sense of disenfranchisement from some in the Latino community. The violence downtown spread into Wednesday morning and left 20 stores with shattered windows. 24 people, including minors, were arrested on suspicion of crimes ranging from failure to disperse to assault with a deadly weapon. The video shows knots of young men and women looting a T-shirt store and breaking the windows of a Starbucks. Some 300 police from Anaheim and surrounding communities had to wade in with batons, pepper balls, and beanbag rounds.
What are those? They're like shooting dispersed people.
Yeah, they're beanbags, man. They're not bullets.
What's a pepper ball? Sounds like something you're going to get if you sit on...
All right, take it easy, okay? It's a pepper ball. It's one of those things that you use to disperse. I don't know what the hell it is. So that's what's going on locally here, and it's dominated the headlines. It's, you know, more people against the police kind of thing. It's not new. You know, this is the time when I see these stories, and the more history that I read, and the more I involve myself in, because I believe that the answer for all of us in understanding the world we're living in is to understand how we got here, man. So you must, everybody, I don't care who you are, you must read history. You must, because you got to understand what the hell's going on. Otherwise, people, just the conversations we have are so stupid. I got to go someplace or I'll lose my temper listening to how stupid people are, because they don't know. When we talk about police violence and people, you know how long this has been going on?
You thought, like, ever since police.
What the police started in an atmosphere of mistrust. Understand that when the police were first formed in the United States and in England, people hated them. Hated them. What are you doing here? Can you imagine that? Now there's all of a sudden there's a guy walking down the street and he's got a billy stick and he goes, "What the hell are you?" "I'm a cop." "Oh, is that right? And what do you think you're going to do, man?" "Well, I'm going to make sure that nobody..." Oh, really? People didn't like cops. And it took us a long time to get used to them. And we finally did get used to them. We embraced them. But that is the story of the enfranchisement and the gentrification. It's the story of America growing up and people becoming a part of the mainstream. But guess what? As long as you're on the outside looking in, you're never going to trust cops. Because you look at them as, well, they're defending something that I don't belong to at all. That's just the way it's been. And the way to keep it from continuing that way is...
up the welfare. Yeah, more welfare payments.
Higher welfare payments. All right, thank you. I'm kidding.
I'm not.
We don't care. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Henry. Join us online at philhenryshow.com for a backstage pass, baby, live streaming video cast of our radio show every single night at philhenryshow.com. That's the place to be. And don't forget our podcast, which is three times a week, the Phil Henry, the free Phil Henry podcast. which is available on that banner there on our homepage. Check that one out. We're now going to up it to, we're going to have 4 podcasts a week now. Until tonight, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.